Well, the closing words of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount make me want to sing. Now, you don't have to stand up, but you need to sing with me. And most of you are going to know this song. Are you ready? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man, come on, his house upon, louder. The wise man built his house upon a rock, and the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the wise man's house stood, and the wise man's house stood firm. Ba-da-da-doom. You got to do the ba-da-da-doom. That's on the kids' version anyway, and that's the only version I know of that song. VBS, you're going to learn some life lessons. They're going to stick with you. Well, hey, as familiar as these closing words may be and as fun as they are to sing, we should never forget that these words are also very profound. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We are in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, therefore, what's the therefore? Let's keep reading and find out. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. It's the word of God, the end of his Sermon on the Mount. But before we jump any further, I just want to say once again, I've said to most of you guys, a lot of you in here, Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, man. Happy Father's Day. Would you all stand up? Every father, every dad in here, would you stand up? Come on, let's just thank the Lord for these men. Let's thank the Lord for these men. Thank you guys. Men of God. Stay standing. I want to say a few things. I know as men, I'm a dad, I got four kids. You know, Grant said, oh, Dad, I haven't said Happy Father's Day, Happy Father's Day. I said, I couldn't do it without you. Couldn't do it without you. Anyway, you know how that is. Look, men, here's the deal. We understand this. We understand that there's a lot of pressure to be a man, to be a dad. There just is. We got pressure to provide for our families, to protect our families, to lead our families in godliness. There's just a lot of pressure. But I'm believing that the message today, and I just think it's beautiful how God orchestrates things and weaves his word together for such a time as this. And he's just perfect in his timing. I believe this message today on this Father's Day is going to help remind us that it's not on our shoulders. It's not up to us. It's not up to you. But God is the one who is the Heavenly Father, who is the one who does the heavy lifting, who is the one who guides us and directs us and gives us all that we need. The salvation of our families is not on our shoulders. Yes, we have a role to play as earthly dads, but we have a Heavenly Father who even loves our kids more than we do. I know it's amazing, but he does. And he loves you, and he's for you. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. So we have all we need in him, guys. And I want to encourage you, keep turning to him. Keep looking to him. Keep setting your life on him. And don't worry, man. Don't worry. Amen? Amen. God bless you guys. You may be seated. Well, we've been systematically studying through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We've been learning to live upside down. Thus, the picture that we see on the screen right there, I've had people very frustrated that the picture's been upside down, all of these messages. That's not right, Pastor. Why is it upside down? It's hard to look at. I gotcha. I'm glad it's sinking in that something's not right. The world is upside down is what the real issue is, isn't it? I mean, again, we look at Charleston, South Carolina. The world is upside down, messed up. And so we got to live upside down from the world to bring it all back into alignment. And Jesus' Sermon on the Mount has been walking us through how to do that. Been showing us that God's ways, man, they're completely different and foreign from the ways of this world. God's kingdom is different than the kingdom of this world. Completely different. You know, we've been studying this sermon since the second Sunday of September of last year, 2014. This is our 29th lesson from Jesus' sermon. 29th lesson! I never thought it was going to go that long. It wasn't in the plans, but that was God's plan. 29th lesson as we've been making our way through this sermon. You know, it says that those who study this sermon, who study these words and live by these words are going to be blessed people. That's why we're going through this. Every 5 years, I'm going to tell you right now, the 2nd September, every 5 years, 5 years from September 2014, we're going to be starting this again. Oh, we're going to just see how God wants to unpack it in 5 years and continue to encourage us and go deeper in it and go deeper. But we're going to be the people who are going to make sure we are grounded in this sermon. Because the people who are grounded in these words of Jesus are people who are blessed. Blessed. So take a look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. What's that first word? Say it. What is it? Therefore. Therefore. This word, therefore, points our attention back to everything that Jesus had just preached. Every single word that he had just preached in his whole Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, because of all these things that I've just shared with you in this sermon, as we're hanging out right here on this hill. Therefore, and Jesus even makes it clear. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, everything I just preached, everyone who hears these words of mine, everything from chapter 5, 6, and 7, from the Gospel of Matthew, as it's recorded there. Therefore, you have a choice. What are you going to do with my words? What are you going to do with my teaching? You have a choice, is what he's saying as he's wrapping up his sermon. You have a choice. What are you going to do with this truth? Now, we can ignore what Jesus just preached. That's a choice we can make. We could just let it go in one ear and out the other. We could say, you know what, that's some really interesting things that he just said. Some of it's challenging. I don't know. I like some of it. I don't like the others. I'm going to hold on to what I like because I'm an American and I want it my way. And I'm just going to hold on to the happy things and I'm going to throw away the other things that just kind of are confusing or challenging to me. We could take that choice and process things this way. Smile at Jesus and say, oh, that was a good message. Good message, Jesus. That was good. I got to get back to my life now. We could go that route. Or we could take his words, which are what? The words of God. And we can live by them and we can make them the foundation of our lives. Now we got a choice. What are we going to do? Jesus demonstrates the critical importance of this choice. And he does it by giving us a little analogy here. And he uses this picture of two men building two houses to try to show us just how important the choice, the decision we make is going to really be in our lives. Two men building two houses. It's a way of teaching us that putting his words, this sermon, into practice is pretty important. So let's look. We got two builders and two houses. There's some similarities. I want to just point those out very quickly. Two builders engaged in the same activity. What are they doing? Building houses. They're both building houses. As far as we can tell, these two builders knew what they were doing. They're probably very qualified craftsmen doing what they do. They were building houses, each one building a house. Also, as far as we know, each one of these houses was pretty much equal. Jesus doesn't talk about any difference in the houses. They could have looked exactly the same, using the same materials, kind of the same fascia, the same finishes, same size, square footage, and all that, for all we know. There are a lot of similarities going on here with these builders and these houses. You know what I'm talking about, by the way, with houses kind of looking the same, right? You can drive through a lot of the neighborhoods here in the Valley of the Sun, and, you know, boom, 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 boom. A lot of similarities going on. Everything looked normal. Everything looked the same. But there was also the difference. You got the similarities, but there's the difference. And that's really what we want to focus on, is the difference. Jesus summed it all up here to show the difference, so that we would be aware that there is a difference. And in the case of what Jesus is talking about, and in this analogy, the difference is what those houses were resting on. Everything looked the same, but there was a difference, and the foundation is what made all the difference with these two houses. See, it turns out that one man's house, the wise man, it was founded on solid rock, on a really strong foundation. And then you had the other guy, who was also very skilled, building this very beautiful home, but it was founded on sand, on sinking earth, you know, just not stable. It wasn't a stable foundation that he was building on. And so Jesus' analogy, while it's really cool to think about building houses, there's a deeper meaning and purpose to why he's using this analogy. And it's really to illustrate two kinds of people with respect to his teaching. And this is something important, I believe, that we got to remember. This is in respect and in response to what are we going to do with his teaching, with the whole Sermon on the Mount. Not just with him. It involves what are we going to do with him also, as we're going to talk about. But Jesus is talking about what are we going to do with his teaching, with the Word of God. See, both men heard Jesus' words. There's two groups of people hearing Jesus' words. Where everyone's hearing his words. Everyone who's been listening to this Sermon on the Mount, they all heard the words of Jesus. And on that superficial level, the differences between everyone weren't really noticeable. Everybody's hearing, everybody's taking. Everyone's probably just like you all do all the time. You smile at me when I'm preaching the word and nod your heads, right? And, amen, Pastor! All right, we're going to get that amen thing going. It's not required and never want it to be fake. But the Lord, anyway, I'm not even going to go there. Praise God. Amen! I don't know why I said that. But here's the deal. As we look closer and examine this closer, one man heard what Jesus said and then made a choice to do what he said. The other man heard what Jesus said and decided to not do what Jesus said. The man who decided to do what Jesus said ended up building his whole life on a good, strong foundation. The man that decided not to do what Jesus said, pick and choose maybe even the things that Jesus said, ended up building his house on something that wouldn't endure, wouldn't last. So our choice matters. How we decide to respond to the Word of God. In this particular case, to the Sermon on the Mount, to what Jesus has just taught us, how we decide to respond to this matters greatly, and it's going to have different results. Now and for eternity, it will have different results. What you decide to do with God's Word will dictate and determine your destiny. It totally will. 100% guarantee on that. That's what Jesus is saying right here. That's what he's saying. So the results are dramatic. When the trials of rain and floodwaters and wind and everything starts to beat against that house that was built on sand, what happens? The house, boom, goes down. It falls. I want to show you these videos right here just to give us a visual of what goes on when something's built on sand.
When you spend 16 years on the water, you get used to some things. Jim Beggarly is used to good fishing, but better sights.
You just don't see that any other place on the lake.
But what has happened over the last couple of weeks is hard to ignore.
Geologically, there's something different right there.
A billion-dollar home is starting to buckle. As the bank slowly erodes, the house is separating with it. The pier is getting crunched.
That's their aspirations there for their dream house or their retirement house. Now it's literally coming down around their ears.
It's what has Paul Keel in his jet ski taking some pictures.
I'm glad it's not my house.
He doesn't live far. This is a very exclusive neighborhood around Lake Palestine.
They're a whole lot steeper here than where we are. Where we're at's gently sloping down.
The rains and strong winds haven't been kind to this decade-old home, neither to the seawall. Landslides have happened before, as you can tell. The ground is saturated.
Some of the large, older trees have been falling over.
The homeowners have moved out, according to the Homeowners Association. The no trespassing sign is cruel irony. Engineers and the fire department are playing defensive. Because everyone, including Jim, is waiting to see when it will go.
There's no audio to this, but you can see what's going on. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand went crash into the ocean, into the water. Jesus actually says, and great was its fall. Meaning a terrible crash, a complete downfall, a total loss, final ruin. That's some old school preaching, isn't it? That's Jesus. Great was its fall. Remember, Jesus reminds us that these houses represent real lives, real people. They can even represent families and groups of people. And so great and ruinous is the fall of the life that is built on sand rather than being built on Christ. On a life that's not lived for Christ, not living His way. Great and ruinous is the fall. This is not only true during the time of trial, but it's true in the ultimate sense, in the sense of salvation, in the sense of eternity. Great and ruinous is the fall of a life not lived for Christ. I know it's a heavy thing to think about. The words of Jesus are heavy. And the words of Jesus are heavy not to bring condemnation. There's therefore no condemnation in Christ Jesus. It's not to bring condemnation, but the words of Jesus are heavy because He loves us enough to speak the truth to us. To tell us the reality of life. To say, this is really how things go. I love you so much, I don't want you to crash and burn. I don't want your life to fall apart and be ruined and crumble forever. I want everything that the Heavenly Father has dreamed for you to be your reality, not the ruin. And so I want to tell you, I want to speak to you reality. That's how much I love you. I care for you. I care for your life now. I care for what's happening in your life today. I care about and am aware of the trials and the troubles and the winds and the storms that are going to happen. And I'm going to be there for you just as I was in the boat and calmed the storm for my disciples. You know, Jesus says, you remember that. I'm there for you also. Look to me. Call out to me. Live with me. Be in the boat with me. Be in my boat with me. And let me calm the storms. Let me be there to hold your hand as we're going through them together. Jesus loves us so much that He's letting us know that this is important. Our choice matters. It's no joke. It matters. He wants us to get it. He wants us to get Him. That's His heart. It's love. It's love. I want to transition here because I want us to remember that the other house stands. You got the one that falls. It's not built on Christ. It's not living God's way. It falls. It crashes. But the other house stands. It stands. The trials, the storms, don't bring that house down. Can't tear it down. Can't erode underneath it. Can't break it apart. It's true in the sense of today, daily living, and it's true in the ultimate eternal sense. The enemy cannot tear down and ruin the house, the life that's built on the sure, solid foundation of Jesus Christ. It can't happen. It's impossible, Jesus is saying. The life built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, listening to Him, living for Him, and living His way. And that's what Jesus is reminding us. It's living on Him, for Him, but living His way. Doing what He's taught us to do. Living the way He's taught us to live. You see, this whole Christianity thing that people want to peddle out there, that you can have some kind of theological, in the sky kind of relationship with God, and then you can live some other way in the natural, it's insanity, it's craziness, it's not biblical. Run from those kinds of teachings. I'm just telling you right now, because that's not what Jesus taught us. It's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, come, run after me, give your life to me. Let me be your Lord. Let me be your everything right now. And come do life this way now. Come really live with me. Follow me. Remember the rich young ruler? Oh, he wanted Jesus. He even said, I'm yours. Let's go. And Jesus said, okay then. Let go of everything else in your life and come live with me. Follow me. And live life the way I live life. And the rich young ruler's like, man, I got too much money. I can't walk away from that kind of stuff. And the man walked away sad because he walked away apart from Christ. I know this isn't in my notes, but I feel like this needs to be heard because this is the gospel. That there is full, new, eternal life in Christ Jesus, living in Him and with Him and for Him every day of your life. And it's glorious and it's blessed. Living apart from Him is ruinous. The other house stands. The other house stands. It stands on judgment day. Praise God. Stands on judgment. God is good. Here's the deal. Knowing that we can't stand on our own. And we can't. You can't stand on your own. You can't figure it out by yourself. Knowing you can't stand on your own. Knowing that we can't withstand the storms of life and the attacks of the enemy. Understanding that. Knowing that we cannot stand under the weight of sin. In our own flesh, in our own selves, sin will overtake you and ruin you. We all know that. Been there, done that. Been down that road, got that shirt or whatever. I don't know all those sayings. That's an old one. Got that ticket. Well, I don't know. Knowing that we can't do that, what happened? Jesus made a way. The Lord made a way for us. Through Jesus Christ, He made a way and a foundation that we can stand on now and forever, that will never fail, that will never crumble. He made a way for us, knowing that we couldn't do it. He did it for us. And Jesus says, come, stand on me. Stand on me right now. Walk away from your past. Stop trying to figure it out on your own. Come, get in the boat with me. Stand with me now and forever. My foundation is solid. Your eternity is secure in me. Again, God's good. Not wanting your life to crumble, Jesus says, stand on me. Not wanting you to be a prisoner to sin, Jesus says, look, I already paid the price. I already conquered it. I beat sin. Come, stand on me. Walk in freedom. You don't have to be a slave to that garbage anymore. Walk in freedom. Come, stand on me. I made a way for you. I did it for you because I love you. Not wanting you to be separated and to be lost for all eternity, Jesus says, look, I'm here. I'm here. Follow me. Take that step. Stand on me. Let me be your foundation now and forever. Not wanting you to be swept away by the lies and the distortions of this world, Jesus says, look, listen to my words. Listen, embrace them. Live by them. And you will surely stand. You will stand. These are promises from God. You want to ensure and know that you will stand, that your life will not crumble and fall? The Word of God just gave some promises to us. Stand on Christ. Listen to His words. Study them and then embrace them and live by them. Oh, if you fall, if you fail, if you make a mistake, then get up. The righteous man gets up instead of saying, I blew it. It's never possible. I'm just going to keep living my own way. No. That's the lost person. The found person, the righteous man, when he falls and he falls short of this, which we do. I'm raising my hand right now, but the Bible is in my hand. Amen. I'm raising my hand right now saying we do fall, we do fail, but we get back up and we repent just like King David. I love that man. I love that example. But we can go back to God. The point is, are you standing on Him and are you standing on His Word and are you living for Him and with Him? Oh, He's good. Keeps getting better and better though. When we choose to stand on Jesus, to abandon our old foundation that's built on our own efforts, built on our own understanding, built on the lies of this world and all that, when we stand on Jesus and live God's way, we find ourselves on a foundation of peace and joy. How many of you want peace? I want peace. How many of you want joy? I want joy. We find peace and joy in our lives when we stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ and we do life His way. When we get out of alignment with God's way of living and we start choosing unhealthy, ungodly things, that's when the peace starts to fly away. That's when the joy is gone. That's when we get all frustrated and messed up inside. And peace and joy come when we stand on the foundation of Jesus and His Word. You know, Jesus opened this sermon with the Beatitudes. And He said, blessed is the man and the woman who live this way. Blessed. Blessed means happy in God. And everybody wants to be happy. Everybody who breathes wants to be happy. But the problem is most people are trying to find happiness in all the wrong places. They're trying to manufacture it themselves. They're trying to work really hard, make a bunch of money, buy a bunch of stuff to find happiness. People even commit adultery to try to find happiness. It's insane what people will do to try to find happiness. And all along, Jesus says, listen to my words and live by them. Listen to my words. Blessed are the people. Happy in God are the people who live this way. Live this way. I love you. I want you to experience true happiness in me. Live this way. And you'll find it. Stand on me, the solid rock, your foundation. And live a happy life. Happy in God. Again, notice those who hear and do. Not just those who hear and have happy thoughts and think of Jesus as a little cuddly teddy bear that they're going to cuddle with, you know. But those who hear and do, these are the people who find themselves standing when others are falling. Standing in peace and in joy. You heard some testimonies here earlier. Been some people going through some storms of life recently. Some difficult things. The people of God are standing. They're not crashing. They're standing. They're seeing God show up and give them strength and love on them. I believe they're going to even see more miracles and the glory of God come in power in their lives and in their family members' lives. Because they're standing on the rock when the storms of life are crashing against them. Yet a lot of people, even Christians, still want to control their own lives. They don't want to relinquish full control of the Lord. They don't really want to live by, quote unquote, as they look at this is some kind of rule book. And I don't want to follow the rules because I'm an independent Christian once again. You know, I'm an independent American and I want to do things my way. And I did it my way. Crash and burn. Anyway. The Apostle Paul encourages us in 2 Corinthians 13:5. He says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? He's in you. Unless, of course, you fail the test. Jesus, in many ways, at the end of his sermon, he's saying, look at yourself. Is your life aligning with what I've been teaching, what I've been showing you? Is this what your life looks like? Are you choosing to live with me, for me, and the way that I'm teaching you to live? You can understand, we can all understand where we are in life and in our relationship with God just by examining our lives. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. Because, again, he loves us. Not to bring condemnation, but just so that we can enjoy him and live with him and be blessed by him. We can examine our daily and weekly schedules, our calendars. We can discover our foundation by doing that. What's the foundation of your day? The Word of God, prayer, praise? Is that what your day is built on? Or is it built on hurry and worry? It's so easy to fall into that trap of allowing our lives to be built on the foundation of hurry and worry. Because the enemy uses hurry and worry to pull us away from the Lord and what he has for us. Martin Luther, the reformer, when he would have a busy day, he'd see a schedule, he'd look at it, oh my, it's a busy day, there's a lot going on. You know what he would do? He would increase his time of prayer in the morning. He'd spend more time in prayer that day because he knew how much more he needed God to show up in his life. Not letting hurry and worry dictate his life, because his hope is found in nothing less than Jesus Christ, in his blood and his righteousness. Is our foundation built on hurry and worry, or do we get with God, sit with him, and live on a foundation of peace and faith? I will tell you right now that as I have chosen over the past several years to very purposefully spend time with God and get my foundation on him in the morning, it's made all the difference in my life. We can examine our relationships to take a look at our foundation. Are our relationships built on love, built on serving others, being peacemakers, forgiving one another? Check it out. Look at your relationships. You can examine by what we follow or what we allow into our lives can let us know what our foundation looks like. Is our foundation Hollywood or the Holy Word? Is it Hollywood or the Holy Word? What is it that we're allowing into our lives that's affecting who we are and what we're standing on? It really does matter. It does. It doesn't mean that you can never watch a movie, never watch TV, but what is your life founded on? What is feeding you? What is it that's influencing you? We can examine our finances and get a clear picture of our foundation. Does God get our first and our best, or does he just get our leftovers? We can examine our lives and discover our foundation. Now, we've all heard the credit card commercial, "What's in your wallet?" Jesus would say, what's in your foundation? Solid rock or sand? What's your foundation built on? It's interesting, as we teach the Sermon on the Mount, the words of Jesus, they seem to be some of the heaviest messages that we have every single year. I mean, just look at it. These are heavy messages. But again, it goes back to the reality. It's because God loves us. And he wants us to know the reality of life now and forever. It's nothing to be afraid of, because we can always turn to God. We can always turn back to God. Did you know that you can abandon your old foundation? This is how good God is. God will take your house and he will allow you to say, I'm done with that foundation. He'll take your house and he'll move it and put it on his foundation. He'll do that for you. That's how much he loves you. He's willing to do all the heavy lifting that's involved. All you have to say is, do it, God. I want you to move me onto you. I want to abandon my old foundation and I want to rest and be set on you now and forever. If you've allowed your life to slip off of the foundation of Jesus Christ and you're back on that sand and things are rocking and breaking and cracking and all that, cry out to God and say, God, set me back on you. I don't want to live on this foundation anymore. It's sinking, it's wrong, it's lies, it's put me back on you, God. Set me back on you. And then here's the nice thing, is when he does that, God tends to also do upgrades in the process. You know what I'm saying? He's going to upgrade some things in the process when you say, hey, put me back on you, my solid rock foundation, Jesus. I'm coming into agreement with you. I'm out of agreement with that old stuff. That old stuff, I'm done with it. I'm all yours, God. I'm all yours, God. Isn't God good? Let's be followers of Christ. Band, would you come up? Let's be followers of Christ who hear God's words and then do what he says. We can do that. And when we fail, we just say, oh, God, forgive me. Thank you for loving me. I'm here. I'm back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Let's be those people who embrace God's kingdom and embrace His ways. Live that upside down lifestyle that He's taught us. I encourage you to go back through the Sermon on the Mount. Go back through the Beatitudes. Be reminded just how opposite God's ways are. And maybe you'll start to realize once again, man, I'm falling back into the lies and the distortions of this world. The things that they say are important, I'm still holding on to those. You don't have to do that. I did that for years, by the way, when I was a young adult. For about 10 years, I had my foot. I thought, ooh, I'm going to trick God, and I'm going to have one foot on His foundation. Woo, I'm a Christian. I'm blessed. Come on, God, You're good. I'm going to worship You. I'm a bass player on the worship team. I get extra points for that, all that. But I'm going to have my other foot on the foundation of my own life. Woo, I'm going to be that, all that, and a millionaire, and I'm going to live for myself, and this is what I want. This is what makes me happy, and so on and so forth. It doesn't work, because ultimately that foundation that's not God crashes, and guess what happens? Boom. You go down. And I was going boom down really, really fast. Here comes the boom. Remember that from that movie? I like that anyway. And the boom was coming in my life. Boom. And I had to decide, look, which foundation am I going to stand on? I didn't have a choice. I have got to stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I got to follow His ways. Otherwise, my life goes straight toward destruction. Straight toward it. We can be those people who choose Him and enjoy life and find ourselves happy in God today and for all eternity. Let's stand up and let's be reminded of this truth that on Christ the solid rock, we stand. We stand. We don't fall. On Christ the solid rock, we stand. Let's sing those words.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking. Sand, all other ground is sinking sand.